Because we all are ministering God's word, which he has given for the grace church, which is Christ's body. So without further ado, I present to you all, with great pleasure, Dr. Elder William Liverman to minister the gospel of the grace of God. Let's receive him with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. And thank God for everyone being here. I sense the excitement in your eyes because I see that you embellish and you have the glory of God in your spirit because the fact that you belong to Christ and he placed you in his body, not in time, but in eternity. I can just imagine and see that joy that's flowing in your heart. And because you have that joy and you're going to give Christ that joy, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. You have that joy, joy, joy. Amen. I'm sorry. The Lord has put a spirit of excitement on me when I was driving on 696 today. And I just, you know, y'all, that comment, Superman Clark Kent, I just felt like flying to the sky. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, and kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, another day where we can just dwell in your goodness, grace, kindness, and love and mercy. Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for what you did for us in eternity. And we thank you, Lord, that we have no fear, anxiety, or frustration from our actualized position in Christ. Everything is already, every problem is already solved. And Father, we ask that you would breathe upon your people here according to your will, plan, and purpose. Thank you, Lord. Let everything said be done to glorify and magnify Christ. Christ, 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 and him only, Father. And let everything that's not like Christ move flesh aside, Lord, and let this place always magnify and exalt Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we continue to be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people God say, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we are going right into the word. At this time, Brother Najari and Ross, everyone should have a document. And in the document, church, you should see a picture in the middle. And the picture in the middle, you should see a man. You should see, well, first of all, the title, The Grace Covenant's Eternal Security in Salvation. If you don't have that, raise your hand, because we want to make sure that you can. We're going to have a little exercise before we actually begin the reading. I think, yes, Ross, everyone here has one. I believe everyone has that. Now, what we're going to do, church, if you don't have a pen or pencil with you, just do this when you get home. You can do this in 5 minutes. But in this document, amen, that the pastor wrote, glory to God, I tell you, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Not only is he is the teacher. Because sometimes we have a plethora of documents, a plethora of things, and you really have to be led by the Spirit and say, Lord, what your people need today, because the Holy Spirit is a teacher. So I was just, this document was burning my spirit, and so when I passed this out and prior to, well, during Sunday school, I think pastor said, you had just referred to this. You had just referred to this. Amen. In this document. Say the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And he's the one. He's a teacher. Now, church, you see this picture here. There's a door open, and you see at the bottom, reflections into the future. And at the top, you see right in the middle of this circle, for those that have a pen or a pencil, write the word salvation right at the top. The word salvation. And once you, with the word salvation, have an arrow point to the side. I'm going to give you some things. There are a plethora of others. But everything in our contract, church, begins with salvation. Everything is about, what is our salvation? Our eternal relationship with God. Now, if you have a clear view, and only God can do this, if you have a clear view on salvation, then that would be synonymous with some other things that's consistent with salvation. So on the right side, for those that don't have a pencil, you can do this when you get home. On the right side, what is consistent with salvation? Well, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessings. And many of these consistent with salvation, righteousness, joy, love, sanctification, all the Asians. And as we journey in life, church, having the knowledge of these Asians, it can free us from fear, frustration, anxiety, turmoil. But having a clear view on salvation, what can radiate from salvation? Joy, happiness, love, peace. So it depends upon the reflection, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is light. If you have a confused or a distorted view of salvation, it can only result in anxiety, frustration, turmoil. One day you're saved, one day you're lost. That can cause a lot of anxiety. But everything begins with salvation and, well, again, our eternal relationship with God. So look at reflections in the future. What is your cogitation toward salvation? Your future is secure, church.
Hallelujah.
If you have a secure feeling regarding salvation. You know, how many know our future is already set? Our future was set in eternity. When were you saved?
In eternity,
before the foundation of the world. So, we're going to get to this in some other detail, but let's go right into that scripture. Deacon Gavin, let's read, everything begins with salvation. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Well, let's do it this way. Amen. Thank God for Deacon Wallace. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Amen. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, read verse 1 through 9. You can King James, and most people have the King James. But verse 10, we're going to do some exegesis on verse 10 there. We'll read this in the Greek. Everyone, Deacon Gavin is our reader.
We're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits.
Yes.
Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
Stop there, Deacon. One second. Consider, notice, the Apostle Paul states, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And one of the things that the Lord, that the Apostle Paul prayed that they would have understanding in, is the next verse. See, something is like, what's about to come? I pray. What did Paul say? Read verse 7 again. Consider.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding.
And by the way, it's not about what Paul said. We're not magnifying Paul. It's the Holy Spirit through Paul. Paul was just a vessel, just like you are a vessel. Anytime God gives you a revelation, you say, whoa, and it just blesses 1,000 people. Don't take no credit in that. God just breathed upon you to give that revelation to bless someone else. So we can't take any glory for anything because the Holy Spirit is the teacher and he own it.
Yes.
Now, but he says, consider what I say. Read that, Deacon Gavin.
Consider what I say and the Lord give thee understanding.
Regarding what? Keep
in
reading.
In all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Keep reading.
Wherein my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound.
Now, verse 10, church, for those that have the Greek Bible, for those that don't, just follow us. Verse 10 in the interlinear Greek.
Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, from the interlinear Greek text. Therefore, all things I endure on account of the chosen ones, in order that also they, salvation, may obtain in Christ Jesus with glory eternal.
Salvation that may obtain. You see, church, in verse 10, Deacon Gavin just read, salvation may obtain, which most God's people read this on the surface, and they also put a condition on this. They'll say, pray that you may obtain salvation. If that's the case, that's going to clash with verse 8, because Paul said that the Holy Spirit through Paul stated that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. What is the one thing consistent with our gospel? The mystery. The one thing that's consistent, church, is that you were saved in eternity and not time. So in verse 8, my gospel, if you were saved in eternity, and it appears that verse 10, it states that you pray that you're going to get saved. Come on, church, read. In other words, it's like those verses are clashing. They're not clashing, church. They are consistent. But if you don't do any exegesis, there's no way. On one account, you were saved in eternity, and on another account, oh, pray that you'll make it through the end. You know, you heard songs. Pray that I make it through the end. No, what's the key? Let's do some exegesis, church. You'll see that it's consistent. The word of God is consistent. Now, just bear with me. Verse 10. What is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? What's the thought conveyance in verse 10? Many misconstrue the conveyance of 2 Timothy 2:10, and from it have forced the notion that the elect must, through some effort on their part, to attain life in Christ. In other words, something you must do. The elect here are those, notice, for the elect's sake, church, in verse 10. Who are the elect? The elect were those who were already manifestly saved, as confirmed by the Greek statement rendered, they may also obtain, receive. Now, here's a key. Note, this is a purpose clause with the second aorist, active subjunctive, render obtain or receive, as it is linked with a genitive case. What's genitive? Possession. Render salvation. You possess salvation in eternity and not time. Thus, the statement, they as well as in 2 Timothy 2:10, is referencing addresses internalization of salvation rendered that in Christ Jesus, which is rendered eternal glory. But it must be understood that they of themselves have not obtained this by some specified thing that they did. In this light, the gospel of grace comprehend that every aspect of salvation, election, salvation, and all of the things that God gave us in our contract, they were all unconditional and not conditional. God gave it to you because you were gifted with this in eternity. So when Paul mentions that you may obtain, do the exegesis, and you'll see that your obtaining was not done in time, it was done in eternity. You obtained the gift that God already gave you. If God gave, you know, if a parent gave their child $50 just because they love the child, they gave him $50, all of a sudden, the next day, they say, give me the $50 back. It wasn't a gift anyway. A gift is a gift. And God gifted us with salvation. Because of this, again, we have salvation, which is of the Lord. Let's go to the document, and then we're going to refer to this further. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will give us light to know that salvation is not an entity of time, but eternity. Say eternity.
Eternity.
Say, I was saved in eternity.
I was saved in eternity.
And not time. I don't know why people fight that. I don't know. I mean, you save in time. So what's going to happen if you mess up in time?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, I'm not going to mess up. I never mess up. Lord, pray. Amen. That's something else. Let's move on. And we're not glorifying messing up. But what we are saying, church, is this. Enjoy your salvation that God gave you. But someone said, I didn't know. It's a lot. Lord, have mercy. If God placed a criteria on his relationship, on what he did for us based on what we know, men of God's people are going to leave the time capsule and never knew they were saved. Come on, church. Men of God's people out here doing some of the craziest things. That's why we should never put a barometer in terms of who's saved. We don't know. God has murderers, rapists, everyone you can imagine. And doesn't that give testimony to what God did? It's not based upon what they did. And by the way, we're not glorifying these acts. But what we are saying is that salvation, God had you picked before you got here, church, you were already secure in Christ. But somebody said, my life's been messed up for the past 30 years. It's not based upon that. It's based upon what God did. All right, let's go to the document here. Amen. We'll begin reading. Have mercy. No scripturally informed child of God will ever adopt a doctrine that will put them at eternal risk. Any doctrine that averts that God has conditioned salvation based upon the individual choices of mankind will never admit the joy of eternal life in God's domain. The problems with these teachings do not abide so much in humankind's desire or will as much as in their inabilities to make these kinds of choices. There is an erroneous perception that the eternal status of one's own as well as such one's loved ones depend upon their actions in responding to God's offer of salvation to all mankind. This continuously raises the question as to what is the final disposition of those that have been manifestly released from this life as to what is the outcome of their final journey. No one wants to think of themselves as any of their loved ones being banished to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, eternally separated from God or worse. Stop here. No one wants to think about this for the loved ones. Everybody wants the loved ones to make an end, right? That's only our human thinking. But the determined outcome is based upon God. And I'm going to say this. I did. I put many people in hell. Come on, y'all. Don't be all spiritual. I've gone to a funeral, and I knew that person's life, whether it was somebody, a co-worker. I said, oh, I was there, supporting the family. But looking at their life, they didn't make it. They didn't make it. You cannot make assessments on that based upon the life they live. Or somebody said they made all kind of mistakes. Well, what have you made? Yes, grace never points the finger at others. Because if it wasn't but for the grace of God, where would we be? Amen. Next paragraph. Sadly, in many assemblies today, salvation from sin and its consequences have been reduced to an incantation, a ritual use of deeds or a set of words spoken or chanted in pursuance of a conversion experience. Hence, many think that if they can get an unbeliever to say just the prescribed words in just the right way, calling upon God in just the right manner, he would then and only then exert all his spiritual powers, and then salvation is assured for such one for eternity. The requisite of this formula entails the following. Notice the steps here, church. Number one, just wait for the preacher to give the invitation to join God's kingdom, to have one's sins forgiven and receive eternal life. Number two, while the congregation softly sings, "Just as I am," make one way to the front of the church. Number three, once there, just confess that such one is a sinner. And number four, promise God to believe in Jesus. And number five, listen to a few minutes of instruction and receive a tiny booklet. Usually it's the Gospel of John. And then finally, number six, begin one's journey, all one's way to life, to eternal life. Stop here. You see the problem? We have our cogitation, and we've made this a formula. We have made this. This is nothing but physicality, a physical phenomenon. Salvation is not a physical act, church. Salvation is a spiritual. It's what God did for you in eternity. What we have here, these are processes. You are not saved by processes. You are saved by purpose. So you are confusing processes with purpose. And somebody said, well, I went through these things, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came upon me, and I've been walking with the Lord since I had this experience. No, God breathed upon you in terms of that wonderful, but God did not breathe upon you because you cited a ritual formula. God breathed upon you because it was his eternal plan for you to be placed in his body, and he did it in eternity and not time. That's the reason, church. So we don't confuse purpose with processes. As part of processes. You know my story. Pentecostal, I can't think. Amen. Pray for me. One mother says, no, you got to hit, put me in the back room like this. Oh, similar to this here. One mother, right, Ben? One mother, say Jesus faster. I was sweating. For those that weren't here a few months ago, I was sweating. They said, one mother said, say it faster. And then the other mother on my left said, say it slower. I said, see, you see what happens when you put salvation in time? One mother, and then there were one kind of yanked my shoulder, say it faster. The other yanked the other shoulder, say it slower. And I was sweating. And I said, what's happening? I was very confused. Found out later, these mothers in competition in terms of who would lead, in terms of tearing room. They were in competition in terms of who would be the first one. But the whole, manifestation wise, the Lord, by purpose, with the limited knowledge I had then, I assumed that that experience is what contributed to my salvation. That was just a process. Tongues, water baptism, shaking the preacher's hand, all these things, join a certain church, these are just processes that God set up for his eternal purpose. But the initiation of your salvation, Ephesians 1:4, you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Go back to the first page, church. You see that picture there again? But what's the reflection? The reflection regarding your salvation is a turn of work that was initiated, done in eternity. So, to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps our heart and mind through Christ Jesus, it is anchored in salvation, which occurred in eternity. We're going to continue to read the next paragraph. Third paragraph. Let's go back to the document. Third paragraph. Joining the family of God or being saved seems simple enough according to present day evangelical orthodox doctrine, even though the apparent flaws of summarizing free will induce many unanswered inquiries. Instead of addressing these inconsistencies in this blindly yet orthodox human perform intricacy, many leaders in these camps opt to qualify the difficulties encountered by stating that this system is authentically compatible solely for those who truly repent and experience the power of God's forgiveness. Unfortunately, far too many, it is nothing more than an emotional moment based on their belief that they have nothing to lose and everything to gain by complying with these stipulations for acquiring salvation. Then the so-called temporary converts are told that they need to understand that God doesn't read lips but hearts, and that those who have this momentary experience and don't continue in practice are like seeds that fall on stony places where the earth has no depth. Stop here. See, here's a problem. They'll say, you have to be saved, and you have to make sure your heart is pure, and you do that, then God will save you. Now see, here's the problem with that teaching. What heart is pure? You go over there, you go, come on, church. You go into Romans 7. The heart is depraved. So how can a depraved heart reach God? Well, somebody said, I'm thinking about God, and I love salvation. I love the Bible. I just love, even in spite of my little mistakes, I love the Lord. You do not love the Lord because anything that you're doing, you love the Lord because he calls you to love him. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's all according to God and not you. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Everything is according to God. I don't know why the people fight that. Lord have mercy. Last paragraph. In those attempting to justify this unscriptural position, they quote from the Kingdom Gospels scripture, Matthew 13, 5, 6. Some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth, and forward they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. From this they erroneously deduce that, next page, the hearts of these so-called momentary Christians are shallow, and their seed of faith never grows to maturity, nor yet fruit, as it is viewed for a moment and then quickly disappears. But the question begs, here's the question, what about those who are sincere in doing as they are instructed? This has not been scripturally addressed, even though some ministries teach a doctrine that convinces their followers that once they're saved, they're on their way to heaven and they can never lose their eternal life with God. God's elect can't, but not according to their reasoning. Now, before we go further, see, church, in salvation, just the first page regarding our reflections in terms of looking at salvation, if you view salvation as something that you need to do, you have a very distorted view, and that distortion is going to filter right down in your life. If you feel that one day you contributed to salvation, and then you feel that you're going to have to do everything to keep what you feel you earn. But salvation cannot be earned. Salvation is a gift. So the problem here, many of God's people are looking at the wrong thing. You are looking at what you did and not what God did. And when your eyes are focused on what you looking around, you're looking in the matrix. Let me tell you something. The matrix viewing will drive you crazy. Looking at things pop up in the matrix. Manifestations. Here, there, here, moving around. Just governing your life based upon what pops up in the matrix, church. Looking at these things, it'll cause fear, anxiety, and frustration. But thank God when you see things according to what God's eternal purpose is, everything anchored in his eternal workings, then you can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now, Jesus said something about people that are looking. Because, in fact, they had a report the other day, it was in the Wall Street Journal, that there had been more suicides in the United States in the past 30 years than in the previous 100. And when people, God's people have done it. Amen. That was their course. We're not beating up on individuals, but what we are saying is that many times you look in the matrix and some crazy things can appear. And if you govern your eyes, we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Let's corroborate something that Jesus said about looking. Jesus said something let's corroborate something in the Kingdom Gospel. Amen. Deacon Gavin, I want you to go to Luke, please. Let's go to the church. We're going to go to Luke. Something that Jesus said regarding sightseeing. People looking. Amen. Deacon Gavin, go. Now, by the way, church, we don't have to, for time's sake, we're not going to read the whole context. But the context of this is a point to the last days. And we don't know when. We know in history, we know that based upon where we are, I'm sure we can say that we are in the last days, but only God knows the exact day. Thank God he did not tell his people that Jesus was going to come on October the 1st, 2045 or 2030. Because if God put a date there, it would be some crazy people doing some crazy things. So I thank God that he kept that knowledge to him. No one knows but God. And I thank you. I thank God. Thank God that, hey, because there are some crazy things that's happened in the past 2,000 years of people setting dates. And I'm glad God kept that between him and nobody but God. Deacon Gavin, read Luke 21 and read verse 23 through 26. Trust everyone has it. Again, I will repeat Luke 21, verses 23 through 26. We're going to corroborate. The people are looking.
Now from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 23 through 26, King James Version. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things.
Their hearts failing for fear. Read it one more time.
Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking.
Looking. Keep going deep.
After those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
And read verse 20. Now read verse 27.
And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.
Go and read verse 28.
And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. For your redemption draweth nigh.
Now, church, understand the time frame where we are. When Jesus was teaching his disciples regarding the last days, they were thinking, and we know eventually, according to prophecy, go read over there Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the prophets, they read, they stated that one day the Messiah, not only will he be born, but one day he will die as part of God's plan for the ages. They're thinking at this time, understand that, yes, if the Lord's going to come, that kingdom is about to come. That kingdom, all the things, in fact, the Bible talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. That was part of the prophetic word that God gave in the Old Testament. But they were thinking that this kingdom is about to come. They did not know that God had a secret. God had a secret that was kept by God before the foundation of the world. And what was that secret? That secret was that after Jesus died, rose from the dead, they were waiting for the kingdom. But God had a secret. That secret, oh God, raise up a man. Oh, hallelujah. Change his name from Saul to Paul. And God, through Paul, breathed upon the apostle Paul, who ushered in a whole new dispensation that was unheard of in times past. And that's where we live in now. The dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. They were looking for the kingdom to come. But that kingdom has been on hold. And it will be on hold until the Lord take us out of here. And then when the Lord remove us from the time capsule, via the what? Rapture. That's all the rapture is, church. God's going to take you from, quote, he's going to remove us from the time to where we always have been in Christ. But then God is going to, it's like a car shifting gears. God is going to shift his plan. The church is going to be where they always have been. That is where, in the heavens in Christ. That was the theme of the doctrine conference. We have always been in heaven. For those that missed the conference, you are not on your way to heaven. You have always been in heaven. The heaven is in Christ. I'm sorry. Some of y'all look kind of put. I'm sorry. Go to read it. Go to Ephesians 1. Where I'm going. Why I want you to go. Yeah, please. Some of the, I don't know, Patrick, some look kind of, wait a minute, I see y'all should be in the doctrine conference. All right, okay, I won't go there. I'm saying, church, you've always been in heaven. I don't know, why y'all quiet, church? What, come on, you should be shouting. You have always been in heaven. No, it's my, I'm on the way to heaven. See, that's another problem. Go back to the front. Look in that, in the reflections, If you feel that you have to get to heaven, no, you've already been there. 2,000 years of history have taught us that I'm a struggle, but one day, oh Lord, you know, one day there's some have made this a formula. They'll say, Brother John, are you on your way to heaven? Yes, I hope so, but I think so. Why? Well, I look at my life and I've done some kind of fair things, I've done some bad things, but over here on my left side, these are my bad things, but these are all my good things, and my good things outweigh my bad, so I'm on the way. Lord have mercy. If God operate like this, we all would be messed up because none has been good. The heart is despicably depraved. But no, that's manifestation into what time God assigned us a depraved body that one day he's going to destroy. Now, I know, let me go back. Not only one day, the body has already been destroyed. It just hasn't been manifested. The body has already been destroyed, church. It just hasn't been manifested. Okay, Deacon Gavin's going to read when we talk about the heaven. Here's another problem. Thank God the heaven is in Christ. Go ahead, Deacon, please.
All right. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Interlineal Greek text.
Yes, please.
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual,
yes,
in the heavenlies in Christ.
Heavenly is in Christ. In your Bible, if you have places and italics, please get a red pen, a black pen, whatever, cross places. If you have places, it wasn't in the original manuscript. The heavenly is in Christ. And I'm sure, Ray, how many of you are in Christ? Raise your hand, everybody. Well, you are in heaven right now. Well, somebody said, I don't see it. See, you're looking at, you're having the wrong reflection. Your position in Christ is an eternal position. You have always been in heaven because you have always been in Christ. Heaven is synonymous with in Christ. You cannot separate heaven from you being in Christ. He's the head, you're the body. Because he's the head, you are linked, you are connected to his body. Wherever the head goes, the body's there. And I read the Psalms the other day. I said, that's right, we don't say don't read other parts of the Bible, but don't go to those other covenants for doctrine. Because you have limited light. Mm-hmm. I was reading the Psalms. David said, before he created the heavens, and I'm just paraphrasing. David wrote and stated this, that before God did all these things, before his creation, before he did all these things, I was with him. I said, you know what? David did not know what in the world he was writing. David said, before God did all the wonderful things, David said, what? I was with him. He didn't know what he was saying, because now you go to what? Go to the mystery writings. What is the mystery? Didn't get in 5 years?
Yes.
The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. Now you can shine light on what David said, because David, God has breathed upon David, and he wrote what God commanded him to write. But you go to our contract, it tells us that, yes, we have always being with God, because everything, go there in Hebrews 11:3, everything came into existence via the medium of a saying of God. Everything was existed. You came into existence because God said it. He spoke it. Not many sayings. Not many sayings, but one day you say that God changed your mind, you were lost, then God going back and forth like a yo-yo. God, see, we don't, the problem, we don't know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God. I'm going to say that again. We don't know who we're dealing with, church. We're dealing with God. God does not change his mind. The Bible says he is God by himself and he changed not. He cannot change. So, taking this further, we were saved in eternity. We have always been in Christ because we have always been saved. You have always been in the heavens because you have always been saved. You have always, no matter what comes your way, anxiety, fear, frustration, you have always been safe. no matter what manifests in the matrix, you have always been safe. But somebody said, I didn't feel like it. Well, Dorothy didn't feel like it either. I'm sure when that wicked witch from the way, I'm sure when she locked Dorothy in that room and flipped that hourglass, and Dorothy was all frightened. I'm sure if the good witch had tapped Dorothy on the shoulder and said, Dorothy, why do you have all this anxiety? What are you talking about? This, they locked me in this room, and once this sand is down, I'm dead. That was what she saw in the matrix. But what was her real existence? When her conscious moved from Oz back to Kansas, she was where she always was. That was in Kansas with Aunt Am. When God move us from this, move our conscious.
Yes.
And some, by the way, some are going to go by way of the rapture.
Absolutely.
Some God has set some other mediums.
Yes.
But when God removes you from this time capsule, you're going to be where you always have been.
Always have been.
And if God could just give you a glimpse of the time capsule, because again, you'll be in eternity, where there's no time. But if you could glance at this little time God gives us, whether some 20, 30, some 80 years, whatever time God gives you here, you see, eternity compared with this, you can't compare it.
No.
It's nothing but a drop in the ocean.
Yes.
And so many people, their lives are controlled by this one drop. Take your eyes off the drop and look at the ocean. Don't look at your big problem. Don't look at how your problem. Look at your big God. Take your eyes off the problem and look at God. Because those problems is in God. Everything is in Him. Everything. So, when people, Jesus said, those people are looking at. People say certain things or look, and God's people shaking the boots. I'm not going to be on a political thing, but I will say this. There's one politician going around, I'm going to make America great again. And some of God's people are shaking their boots because you know what he means. Come on, y'all, you know. We're making America great again, right? He's only saying, whoever, I'm not picking a little bad, I'm just saying, whatever goes down is because God calls them to say that.
Praise Jesus.
The political systems, our life, everything is in God. Don't look at the politicians. Don't look at the course of nature. Don't look at your job. Don't trust in anything, but your trust is in the living God. And He's the one that can bring you out according to His will, plan, and purpose. Everything is according to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, I got 10 minutes. Everything. Whew. I'm sorry. I'm excited. Everything is according to God.
Amen.
Third paragraph, church. In your document. Let's go back to the document. Okay. All right. And before I go back to the document, here's the problem. Before I go back to the document, there's so much talk about free will. That free will is non-existent.
Amen.
Because your perception, your cogitation toward free will, see, when you say it's free will, it's something that you're doing independent of God. There's nothing out here that's independent of God.
Nothing.
Your perception, you may think that you have free will, but you don't. Because whatever thoughts you have, God gave them to you. So everything, even though you out here, you may think you're doing your own thing is controlled by God. And one thing that Elisha taught us is that man doesn't control anything. Man does not control anything. Reading further. None of mankind has the ability to exercise positive free will. Contrary to what many contend, free will is not taken away when one receives salvation because humans are void of this attribute. No, indeed, God will not drag his elect through the gates of his kingdom, kicking and screaming, and some exclaim because he is in eternity, gave them his nature. In this light, he from the beginning assigned the life God is exuding, an eternal spiritual life preserver to some that are manifested drowned in sin. Yes. God alone has the strength and is well able to manifest it, pull his beloved to safety, yes, and even to cause them to hold on to endure to the end. Mark 13:13. Truly, the life preserver Jesus is there, but not for mankind's taking or leaving. Mm-hmm. Y'all hear that?
Bring it out.
Not for man. Oh, it is ridiculous to aver that humans must first take its salvation, then hold on till they are safe in God's kingdom. But if they let go, they'll drown. So the choice is always theirs. Have mercy. The emphasis should reside in what Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, not in whether mankind will ever leave or forsake Jesus. Right. See, oh Lord, mankind, God's people, were saved in eternity. And to have this clear focus, church, in eternity, as we journey through time, God works things out in our lives according to his will, plan, and purpose. Yes. And what God does for one person in the same situation, God may do something different for another person. Amen. That's why God, thank God, there is one body, mm-hmm, one head and one body, mm-hmm, but we are uniquely designed, mm-hmm, to fulfill the role that God has purposed for us.
Amen.
I remember, see, once you have the eternal view, the Lord controls even as you walk, journey through life. I remember this past few days, I was in the hospital several days. I visited several people this past week. Amen. And I called my daughter. I told her I was in the Lord's will and stopped by to see Mother Nettles on tomorrow. But I was thinking, it kind of reminded me of my hospital days. Lord, I'm going back 12 years ago, I had a major surgery. And see, everybody has a different course. This is my course. See, I was getting consultation with God in this major surgery. And I was over at Providence, and they mentioned what kind of surgery, what I had to go through. I said, it's going to be that evasive? I said, doctor, is there another way? I mean, I had to go through it. In fact, one time I was going to use a term called wait and see, but thank God there were too many people that came against me then. I said, I was going to wait, you know. And the doctor said, well, you're going to wait. But I tell you what, based on your age and based upon what we see, you may be in heaven 2 years. So I said, let me get some care. So anyway, what I did, I said, well, doctor, is there another way? So make a long story short, he said, well, this is a new procedure here. I was at Providence, but there's a new procedure that you can undergo, but you probably won't be able to see this person. I said, who was his name? Dr. David Wood. I said, well, I need to see him. He and doctor over at Henry Ford were the only ones that specialized in this form of surgery. That basically it was like a robot that rather than you going through, you know, the traditional surgery, it was a robot that guided the surgeons. So I said, look, I need to see Dr. Wood. So in other words, what happened? They made arrangements according to God that I was, because see, in the way this your insurance work, you have to stay within your group. But I said, doctor, I love my physician. I'm here, you know, every year I see him. He said, well, are you exercising? You know, process-wise, right? But I said, Dr. Dean, do what you have to do for me to go to U of M. Now, here I was thinking, I had my white gown. Here I was in a place where never been there before. And he performed the surgery. But it wasn't because my hope was in him. See, Dr. Wood could have eaten too much pizza the night before. And God could remove me from the time capsule. If that was his plan. But I said, well, whatever's out here manifestation-wise, I will go maximize that. But hope in God. See? You maximize what God puts in your path as far as it's decreed. But you know that as you journey, your doctrine of parapartiology, as you journey in time, your hope is in God. Because he's the one that determines everything. So it's not about processes. It's about what God's purpose and what his purpose for you. So either way, as we journey through life, God will lead all of us differently. Mm-hmm. But when they told me that there was he was a master at this, I said, let me see him. God caused that to happen. But it wasn't about his skill. It was about the purpose of God. So that's what we need. In fact, my cousin Jimmy, you all know my cousin, he's a physician. He always say, doctors do not heal. They don't heal. God has given them knowledge. The body heals according to God's purpose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But physicians, dentists, thank God for them. And I'm just saying, whatever is in your way, I'm going to maximize that in terms of process-wise. And there are many of God's people locked into processes, have major surgery, need blood transfusions. And because of doctrinal directives, refuse blood. And many of God's people have died on the operating table. Now, we know that's according to God. But would not take blood transfusions. That's why. Going to those other covenants, talking about blood being sacred. Do not go in those other covenants, church, for doctrine. Then somebody say, well, if you need some blood, Liverman, will you take it? How many paints? It's not a matter, Pastor, how many would I take it. Doctor, how many paints do I need? Bring it on. See? So we're not in manifestation-wise, church. We walk through life knowing that everything is according to God. Why? Everything is already done. Everything is complete. Last paragraph. And then we'll close on this last paragraph. Amen. The greatest source of confusion among men of God's people relating to their lack of comprehending the eternal security exclusively in Christ resides in their flawed orthodox practicing of neglecting to divide the scriptures, listen, according to the seven dispensations and their respective covenants. Stop here. Problem that a lot of people repeat, church,
if you do not
divide this Bible
according to
dispensations and covenants, you'll be confused.
Absolutely.
And we're having a seminar in a few weeks, men's fellowship, last fellowship for the summer. We're going to have a seminar on the seven dispensations. They must be divided. The Bible must be divided according to dispensations and covenants. Back to the document. In addition to this error, even the New Covenant Kingdom Gospel scriptures are not viewed according to their proper context, and absolutely this is the flaw of assessing the contents of the grace covenant gospel of grace. And we'll stop here because the other part, the next time I'm up there, we'll go to the next page. But in this, the whole doctrine of salvation, everything, church, begins with salvation. And once we understand this, the fact that God controls everything to the point that he gave us salvation, and the fact that God controls our salvation, he is and he can control everything that flows from salvation. It's all controlled by God. And once we see this, church, we're not moved by what we see or feel. We only move by the word of God. And Pastor mentioned something after Sunday school that was so powerful, that because of men's depraved mind, many times man would go one way and God goes the opposite. Because men of God's eternal workers is opposite from what our mind is, because we can only see so far. God knows everything because he sees the whole picture. I'm going to close on this little quick story. And I can only, when I was thinking of this, I was only referring to thinking about the grace of God. Amen. I'm down early this morning. It's only 10 minutes to 1. I'll be down in 2 minutes. Amen. All right. There was a movie, I think it started yesterday. It's amazing to see God control the history. And the movie called All the Way gives a story of President Lyndon Johnson. It started, and I saved it yesterday because I was busy, I didn't have time, but I'm going to watch it later sometime next day or so. But anyway, it's interesting because it tells you about people looking in the matrix, and we know the story. I'm not going to give a whole account for that, but we know the story when Kennedy got assassinated, people looking at the matrix, and he made some inroads towards civil rights, but when he got assassinated, they said, oh, that's ending, because what happened, they're saying this man, Johnson, people don't know, you know, he's from Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, people think Texas in the 60s? Mm-hmm. And he was from Texas. And people look in the matrix, yep, saying, oh, Lord, all the advances, the little thing that we made under under President Kennedy, it's going to be destroyed now. But see, according to God's process, when Kennedy's purpose was fulfilled, what did God do? God removed him from the time capsule. Because manifestation-wise, now I'm just making a point, manifestation-wise, Jacqueline Kennedy was not really excited about civil rights, but I tell you what, Lady Bird Jones was. So what happened? God raised up Linda, and the person, God, people look into the matrix, and they say, oh, we are messed up now. We got a man, a southerner from Texas, and God used him. He made more advances in Medicaid, Medicare, and all the people over 65, even though they may be whatever thinking, but they love their Medicare. In other words, all these Medicare, civil rights, the point is that God breathed upon him, in spite of his background raising taxes, God breathed upon him to fulfill his will, and that should give us hope that our hope is not in a politician, a president, or a senator, or a mayor. Our hope is in God and what God did for us before the foundation of the world. That is our hope. And as we anchor in that hope, we can go to sleep at night, not looking. Go back to the page here. You will be anchored, not in looking at this, having a bad reflection based on what about tomorrow or what am I going to do. You will have a pure focus because you will be focused on the liberating gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.